the glory of the church, and I wanted to do it for a purpose. You are going to be pastors, and it isn't all going to be, well, eating cherry pie and such things. There will be difficulties always. But remember what a glorious thing the church is, how dearly the Lord bought the church, how greatly he loves it, how greatly the holy apostles suffered for it and labored for it, and we follow in their train. We ought also to love the church. We ought to care for it, labor in it, if need be, suffer and die for it. The church is worth it. It has been purchased with the Lord's blood. Now, is there any discussion of that before I get on to some terribly practical matters? You know how the church comes into being and is preserved. We saw it from the Acts of the Apostles. It's through the preaching of the word, through holy baptism, and in the preservation of the church, the Lord's Supper will play a goodly part because it has been rightly called the sustaining sacrament. And I don't think I need to go over that again. I believe we've done that sufficiently. Here, Dr. Pieper brings an excursus on the relation of church and state, and I think that it is important. It has always been important in modern times and is particularly important also now that we look carefully at this, especially in view of the fact that some folks talk foolishness when they come to the relation of church and state. Have you ever heard the statement made, there should be absolute separation of church and state? I'd be happy if you haven't heard it. It oughtn't to be heard. There can be no such thing as an absolute separation of church and state. It so happens that I attend Trinity Church downtown here. We have a stop and go light there. Who put it there? The church? Nope, I think the city did, and it's part of the government. Why did they put it there? From Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It serves very useful purpose on those days. What about Sunday? Does it help protect the lives of the people who go to Trinity Church? It sure does. Do any of you belong to a church where a traffic cop comes on Sunday and directs traffic when the people come out of church? You must all be from small churches. Snocky, have you heard of such a thing? All right. There is one man who knows it from experience. Now, Snocky, tell us, do you think that's a good idea that there should be a traffic cop there?
It's necessary.
All right. Now, is that absolute separation of church and state? The state protects the Christian people's lives. Does it also protect the church property? We'll say to the extent that it can, but Trinity Church got robbed a year or two ago, and the marks are still on the door on the side, and also a window got smashed in that connection. I don't think they ever caught the thief, or if they caught him, he didn't admit that he was in on that one too. But the church protects the property and lives of Christians, also church properties. That's not absolute separation of church and state. Now, does the church do anything for the state? Well, does the church usually pay taxes? Do the churches pay any taxes at all? Are you going to have a guest coming one of these days? Now, if you build a church and there has to be a sewer, does the church have to pay sewer tax? Yes, things like that, but they don't pay property tax. Go ahead, Debo.
Buildings have to be inspected.
inspection signed off.
Pardon?
Building has to be inspected.
Yes, and if the building inspector has to come, that there's a fee probably in connection with it. No, there are some taxes, but property taxes, real estate taxes, are not assessed against the church. So the state also gives the church certain, well, privileges. Does the church do anything for the state in return? Such as? Better start thinking, go ahead.
Church usually provides some of the moralizing influence.
A moralizing influence, that the word moralize, I think, if you look it up in the dictionary, has a kind of a bad bite taste. It's a preacher who moralizes in the pulpit instead of preaching the law. There is a difference. Now, what you mean is perfectly correct. The church helps to teach morals to the citizenry. The church helps to raise good citizens for the state. And that is a very, very important thing for which the state is grateful. Tell me, does the teaching of morals that the church does have any effect on people that are not church members? I'm getting real bad here with my questions, I know, but I think it might be a good idea if we thought about these things. Go ahead, Black.
I was on the bar in Toledo, Ohio. You couldn't have it open on Sundays till 6 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh. Sort of blue laws a
yes.
Little bit. They came from the churches. Now, I'm not going to argue that those were all good. I've known of some blue laws that were a very deep blue and maybe too blue for anything, especially if they came from Calvinistic sources. But it is a fact that the example of Christians has some influence on the world. And I think we ought to tell our members that and urge them to be a good influence and not be conformed to this world. Elton?
The church also requires the schools and hospitals of public
ministry. Supplies hospitals. Yeah.
Universities.
They do expect people to pay their bills at the hospital? Or does one get it free at St. John's? Not from my experience. But on the other hand, how would we like to miss an institution like that in a town? It'd be a terrible thing. It is a good thing that the church does these things. Also that the Roman Catholic Church builds hospitals and very often runs them well because they have a lot of experience. Comer?
I was going back
saying
the church
right
today offers a harbor from
immigration. Offers a harbor? That's not very good, is it?
It's not always good.
I'd almost say it's always bad. the churches have, I think, a great load of guilt in that they have not spoken out against racism the way they should, because racism is a sin. It's a sin against the commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we in the church should have done a much better job for the state on that particular thing. When I speak about these things, I'm not trying to say, well, the church is really doing very well, it's doing all it should. I'm trying to open your minds to the questions and hope that you will do well in teaching also morality, and that it will rub off onto people that are not even Christians. Now, what we need to watch out for there is that we don't get the sites of the church all mixed up, and that the church gets the idea that it is there just for social values. The church's job, first and foremost, is to preach the word of God. And Where that is properly done, there will be side effects that will be good for the church. The state is in a way a blessing to the church, and the church should be a blessing to the state. Now, what then is the separation of church and state? It is that the state does its work and the church does its work. The state's work is to protect the lives and the property of its citizens, to ensure peace and all that. And the church's business is to preach the word of God and to seek to guide men in the kind of lives that they ought to lead. And if both of them do their work, they will be a very great blessing to each other. Now, yes, Schnacke.
You have 10 comments on the church's role in speaking out against certain government positions or decisions of communism.
Yes.
How far, or when do you go and how far do you go?
I guess that's the old Lutheran Missouri Synod question. Where do you draw the line, huh? All right. If the government is doing things which are definitely bad, or you feel they are definitely bad, have you the right or even the duty to speak out? Yes. Luther did it very powerfully. The prophets in the Old Testament did it. We don't particularly find that the apostles spoke to governments. Is there possibly an explanation why they didn't? Yeah, go ahead.
Most of them weren't even citizens.
That's right. They had one Roman citizen in the among the apostles. One we know for sure. That was St. Paul. I doubt that the rest were. I don't think the Lord Jesus was. They had so much to do preaching the word that... wait a minute. Did St. Paul ever tell a high man in government, the kind of give him the works morally, when he reasoned of righteousness and of judgment and chastity and judgment to come before, was it Felix? Felix said, go back to your cell now, I'll hear you again some other day. He gotten shaky enough for that time. So St. Paul was not afraid to speak out, neither should we be. So I don't think that the church should make a nuisance of itself, as some churches do, but we should speak out. How do you go about speaking out if there is something going on that shouldn't be? What is your recourse, Spangler?
Of course, you first seek proper channels established by the government.
Pardon?
Seek the proper channels, which are...
Yes. Which are the proper channels?
Depending on the problem and whether you're talking about state or...
Yes. Now, say that it is for the... it's the national government. Where would you go? Wouldn't you go to your representative or your senator and write to them or see them and speak to them personally? That isn't out of the way at all. Perhaps we do it too little. Go ahead, Fogelsang.
There's civil disobedience.
Whew. There is a...
If you are willing to accept responsibility...
There is a... quite a thing from the Commission on Theology on civil disobedience. I hope you will study it as I heard it, and I was there when it was done. I did not write it. And many of us thought it could have been better than it is, but it was a first start on this particular subject. Do we like to think in terms of engaging in civil disobedience? I wonder whether under all circumstances we must avoid engaging in civil disobedience. No. If we are expected to do something that is wrong, then we have to disobey. We must obey God rather than men. Or where this thing came up was in connection with the marches to put an end to racism in some parts of our country. Some of our Lutherans marched, and some condemned those who marched. Yeah. Now, go ahead, Kinch.
Yeah, my question on this is, how much of this is playing to the church as a whole, or just an individual Christian's response?
Yes, I was going to say, would you say, let us get our whole congregation into a civil disobedience march now? What would happen if you tried that? Some of your members would not want to march. Some because they are afraid, and maybe some don't agree with your judgment. Then you must leave it to the judgment of the individual Christian, and we should be very careful about condemning someone who does what you or I wouldn't have done very easily. If you do what I wouldn't do, I'll condemn you. But maybe that's not what I ought to do. Well, I don't know whether I have answered that sufficiently about civil disobedience. It's a difficult matter, but I would not say under no conditions.
Should a pastor let his own feelings know?
Should he usually wear them on both sleeves of his pulpit gown? I think the answer is no. Is there ever a time when he should let him be known? I'm sure. Now, how does he know when to and when not to? I don't think that anybody can make a rule there that will cover all cases. A minister must often exercise judgment. That's why St. Paul said, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And the next word is in the RSV, sensible. The minister must be a sensible man. That means that he exercises good judgment. Now, I guess we'll say he must be absolutely sensible. And there is no such thing as a man that is absolutely and under all circumstances sensible. But can you usually tell the difference between a man whom you'd consider sensible and a man whom you would not consider sensible? I think usually we can tell the difference pretty well. Now, there were many other hands. Shane Rada?
Yeah, just with that too, we can encourage many of our people to run for public office. Not that we could endorse them as a congregation per se, but they have the right as citizens.
Certainly they do, and maybe more of our members should run. But then, if you have somebody in your congregation that runs, would it be in place if you talked with him and pointed out to him that then he must be a Christian in the things that he does?
Yeah.
All right, but now we are really at the real troublesome thing. And that is how the state is ruled. And that we got to talk about next time. Thank you.